Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
My opening text here is Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And I'm reading from the NLT. And it reads, "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked a woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?' 'Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden,' the woman replied. 'It is only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die.' 'You won't die,' the serpent replied to the woman. 'God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil.' And the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too." Proverbs 4 and 23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." And I want to talk to you on this thought, the battle for the hearts of men. If you could, let's pray one more time for the word. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, God, for this word. Lord Jesus, this word is forever settled in heaven. God, we are so thankful for it. God, I pray that you would anoint me today as I speak your heart to your people. Lord Jesus, we are here for you. God, we are here for a touch from heaven today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Can you give the Lord another hand clap of praise before you're seated? You may be seated. From the beginning, there's been an ancient battle that is waged throughout generations unto this very day over the hearts of men. From the creation of man, we see that Satan has done everything in his power to corrupt God's people. It is the enemy's goal to separate us from God. Satan wants what God has, and he is mad because he will never attain it. So what do you do if you can't have the best thing going? You go after the next best thing. You go after the ones who are created in his image. It is the enemy's desire to have us, and he will do everything in his power to get inside of our hearts. It's our hearts. Jesus told Peter that Satan has desire to have you. I'm thankful for a God on our side that's already gone before us and fought the battle and prayed for us. From our opening text, we see how the enemy has beguiled Eve into eating the fruit. He tempted her with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and with pride. And in 1 John 2 and 16, the writer says, "For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. And these are not from the Father, but are from this world." So Eve fell into temptation, and Adam was right behind her and took from her the fruit and ate. Satan used the things of this world to seduce Eve into disobeying God's word or God's voice. And by doing so, he got to Adam as well. The scripture doesn't say that Adam fell for what the serpent said. Instead, Adam followed suit because Eve, his wife, gave it to him. She was his heart. If you're married in here, you know your wife is your heart. You love your wife with all your heart. And that was how Satan got to Adam. It was through his heart. And he got in there. But in short, the enemy will do whatever he can to get to our hearts. But why is it the heart? You know, you think about the flesh aspect of the heart, and the heart's just a muscle that is constantly pumping, right? You would think he's after our mind, but he's not after our mind, because what's in our mind is shaped by the things that are coming from our heart, right? Matthew 12:34-35, it says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." So everything flows from the heart. And there are many scriptures that refer to the heart as the inner man. And whatever is on the inner man will be made manifest on the outward man, right? So what's in our heart is what shapes our thoughts, our desires, our actions, and even our spiritual walk. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And we, as born again children of God, are called to be, we're called to be separate. We have been called out of darkness and into his marvelous light, and we are called to be holy as he is holy. And holiness, in its simplest definition, is the nature of God. God is holy, he is pure, he is separate, he is set apart from all sin and imperfection. God is perfect. And we are called to be holy, but this sounds unattainable. We cannot be holy without the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Everything that we do in this flesh is just vanity without the Spirit. The Lord laid this scripture on my heart weeks ago while we were traveling, and specifically the part that says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." And if you know me, I love talking about winning souls, and I love the second part of this scripture. I've quoted it many times, but I've overlooked this part. But we know that we must always be ready to give that answer. But whenever we give that answer, when we speak on behalf of the Lord, we need to make sure our words are coming from a right heart. And to be honest with you, the Lord laid this scripture on my heart, the first part of it doesn't make sense to me. Peter tells us to sanctify the Lord in our hearts, but what does that mean? I thought it was the Lord that sanctifies. How can I sanctify the one who sanctification flows from? But after studying this out and with the help of a concordance, and I realized what Peter was telling the church. He's telling the church to acknowledge the Holy Spirit that's now inside of them. And he's telling the church to consecrate your heart unto God and to purify your heart through repentance. So first of all, we need to acknowledge what God has put in us and remember where God has brought us from and the life that he has called us into. When I think about what Jesus did for me on Calvary, I can't help but rejoice. I became an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And I want to share, this is brief, but I'm going to share this with you. I remember when Jesus shook my life up. I was a borderline alcoholic. I left a party one night in my GMC Sierra, and I was hammered drunk. I was blacked out, and I didn't even realize what I was doing. But I can tell you where I ended up at. I drove that truck through two stop signs. I jumped a ditch, and I made it about 200 yards through a field of trees. And somehow I didn't hit a single tree, but I wrecked my truck that night into a cemetery. And God shook me those following days. He says, time to make a decision, Dusty. He said, are you going to accept my grace, or are you going to go to the grave? And I'm telling you that something happens whenever you embrace the grace of God. Something happens whenever you start fighting on the right side of the battle. I remember laying on my face in sorrow for the sin that I had let run my life for so long. I remember praying that prayer of repentance and turning away from that old life. I remember where God brought me from. But even more so now, what I look back to is what he did to bring me out of it. I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and all that old life was washed away, and God filled me with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, and he gave me the overcoming power. And I am thankful that I have a testimony. I'm thankful that before I had my eyes set on God, that he had his eyes set on me. I'm thankful that he fought the battle for me and that he made a way for me to be saved. But we come out and we go into something. Whenever we experience this, this is just the beginning. Yeah, it's hard coming out of the old life. But whenever you get the Lord on your side, it gets easier. It gets easier to walk. But what Jesus has grafted us into is a holy covenant. What he has put inside of his church is his Holy Spirit. And by his power, we will be able to live a holy life. And I'm here to tell you today that living the life for Jesus is fighting the battle. Living the life is fighting the battle. The world that we are living in is waxing more and more gross. The voices are crying out saying that evil is good and that good is evil. And today, more than ever, we need to guard our hearts. We need to be guarding this heart. There are so many voices out there that wants to shape our minds. The enemy of our soul is being backed into a corner, and he knows it. And he's going to use whatever means necessary to get our focus off of God. So I'm telling you, if he can get your mind off of God, if he can get your mind off of God, he can work his way into your heart. In light of these recent events, there are so many voices rising up. So many voices. In the past few weeks, the multitudes have rose up, and some of them sound like they're on the right side of the battle. But we still have to be careful what voices that we are letting in. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And Matthew 7:15 says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. They'll have a form of godliness, but lack the power. Because they're drawing power from the wrong side of the battlefield. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And I want to share with you what God has spoke to me. He dealt with me in prayer the other day on this. If it doesn't mimic these words, then it's not of me. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, lay not this charge against them. The battle isn't with the flesh. This flesh is controlled by the principalities and powers of this world. This is what the voice of God sounds like in the midst of persecution. He's still interceding on behalf of those people who are doing wrong. The enemy sings a tune that's just a little different. There's terrible things that are happening. The innocent people are being killed. And these persecutors need to be punished. Crucify them. crucify them, kill them, just wipe them out. What they did can't be forgiven. That's what the enemy sounds like. And I know this is heavy, but the enemy takes some truth and he blends it with wickedness. And we must be careful not to let that same spirit get a hold of us that got a hold of those religious rulers back in Jesus' day. Because that same spirit is still here today. And it's still attacking the hearts of men. I do believe that there is a price to pay for our actions. Even the Bible says that the wages of sin are death. But where the church needs to draw the line is in condemnation. Because there is no condemnation in them who are in Christ. And the blood of Christ has freed us from sin. And the only one who can rightfully judge is the one who shed his blood. If you find yourself condemning, you need to check your heart. I want to remind you today that the Apostle Paul, who wrote the New Testament, he wrote the majority of the epistles in the New Testament. He was persecuting the church first. What the enemy meant for evil, God turns and makes it good. Saul was standing by when Stephen was stoned to death. He was attacking the church in the way of truth ignorantly. And the Lord Jesus met him where he was at, and he struck him down and revealed who he was to him. And the Lord Jesus brought Saul to a place of repentance and done some heart surgery on him. Jesus took Saul out of the enemy's hands. And the persecutor Saul became the Apostle Paul and became one of the greatest soul winners of all time. Now, I want you to hear me out. So I'm not saying that you have no right to be upset about the evil brewing in this world. The scripture says, be angry, but sin not. But I'm here to remind the church how the church is supposed to respond in times like this. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And over this past month, there has been a raging battle in the spirit. A battle so intense that the world is feeling the heaviness and the weight of it. How many here have heard or seen posts from people that they've been saying that I just feel this heaviness? I just feel this weight. I feel this heaviness in the world since all these tragic things have happened. It has nothing to do with the flesh. The world is in travail trying to figure out how to shake this feeling. They're posting about it. They're making podcasts and talking about it, and they're wrestling with their flesh, trying to reconcile what they're feeling. But the church is no stranger to this feeling. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, for we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God does not need us posting about it. He does not need us engulfing ourselves in the wickedness of this world, but God is calling the church to the front lines of prayer and intercession on behalf of the. If you felt that heaviness and you don't know how to respond to it, I have your answer. Yield your heart to God and let the Holy Ghost make intercession through you. That is how the church fights back. Stepping onto this battlefield, it's always a scary thing. It's always a scary thing. But I got to remind you that he that is greater, he is greater in you than he that is in the world. And the church isn't supposed to just stand by and watch in these last days. Matthew 26 and 41, Jesus told his disciples, he said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Why? So that you enter not into temptation. So that you don't give an open door for the enemy to come in. If you're just watching without prayer, that's an easy in. If you're being consumed with the voices of this world and you're not spending time in your daily consecrations, you're not praying and reading and fasting, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. If we're just watching the evil unfold in this world, we can fall into this temptation. The hate can creep into our hearts because we are nothing without God. Hebrews 10 and 39 says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Perdition is a strong word. Perdition defined means utter destruction. The destruction which consists of eternal misery in hell. We do not draw back to the former things. We don't draw back because we know that the one we serve, he has already conquered death, hell, and the grave. We don't draw back when we're face to face with the enemy because of the hope that we have inside of us. Oh, hallelujah. But we have to be prepared for this battle. We need to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts every day. We need to consecrate ourselves daily unto God. Ephesians 6 tells us to take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. But right now, more than ever, the piece of armor we need to put on is that breastplate of righteousness. And we need to stand firm against the voices that are rising up in this world. We need to stand fast in the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We need to guard our hearts. We need to stand fast in the battle. We need to hold on to what God has put inside of us and guard our hearts. Galatians 5 and 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage is what Jesus broke off of us. That yoke of bondage is the sin of that old life. The yoke of bondage is, it ends in death. But Jesus made a way out of that. He came and broke it, and he died the death that we should have died. So come out from among them, saith the Lord. How many times do you see in the scripture where God called his people out? He called his people out. He said, be separate. He called Abraham out. We have to be separate for a reason. It's not to keep us isolated, but it is to keep what's in us pure. I know this is elementary, but it's something I always tell people. If you're hanging out with five alcoholics, you're going to be the sixth. If you're hanging out with five holy rollers, you're going to be the sixth. But that's just why we need to be separate. We need to be surrounded by the church. We need to be surrounded by people of like faith. In Acts 1 and 8, it tells us that, says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. why do we even need power? What's the point in there being power? What for us? Why do we have to have power? The reason that we have to have power is because sin is in this world. Okay? Our power comes from God. And God is holy. Okay? Everything we do is vanity without God in it. God is holy, He is righteous, and God has no part with sin. And I'm not trying to mess with any kind of theology right now, but I want to stir up your mind with this. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and you've openly let things of this world that are contrary to God work its way into your heart, then you're going to be powerless. Because God has no part with sin. Okay? If you're feeding the flesh more than the spirit, then you're going to be powerless. If you're consumed with the news outlets and the voices of men, and that's all you're letting come into you, then you're not going to hear the voice of God. And you're going to be powerless. The only reason that power is even a thing is because there's sin in the world. Okay? Our power comes from God, but it comes through holiness whenever we reflect God. And we have to be on guard at all times. If we can get a hold of this principle of holiness again, if we can just get our flesh under control and reconsecrate some things to God. And I know this is a sore subject, and it can rub people the wrong way, but I'm here to tell you that the Christian that is living a holy life, a consecrated life unto the Lord, has the power of the Most High resting upon them at all times. And you will be ready at all times. You will be ready at all times to give an answer whenever you have that power. You'll be ready at all times to lay hands on the sick and see somebody recover when you have that power. You will be ready when the enemy comes at you if you are staying consecrated unto the Lord. Without holiness, we will lose the battle. The enemy doesn't come after us and attack the outward man first, because he knows what's inside of us, and he knows it won't work as long as we're holding fast to the Lord. His goal is to plant just a little bit of a seed of sin in our heart first. You know that I'm sure we all know the scripture in Isaiah 28 that talks about here little and there little. Well, this can go both ways. If the enemy can sneak his way in, he will. He wants to corrupt the church of God, and he wants the people of this world to see the church condemning others and having a hard heart. He wants to sabotage what we have going. He wants to sabotage the church of God. But we're not going to give him that power. We're not going to give him that way inside of the army of God. We're going to guard our hearts above all else and consecrate our hearts unto the Lord. We're going to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God does not share his space with the enemy. A house divided will not stand. That's why we repent. If you felt this creeping up on you, if you feel like this is just hitting you right where it needs to, this is why we repent. This is why David repented. Whenever David repented, he said, God, create in me a clean heart. He didn't say, take these thoughts out of my head. He said, get to the source. Get to the source of where all this is coming from. He said, God, I want you to cleanse my heart and renew a right spirit unto me. You see, David was a man after God's own heart, right? And David, the Lord walked with David. Whenever David sinned, God wasn't right there with him anymore. God could still hear him, and he heard him whenever he cried out, and he came back. We can see that because he said, renew a right spirit unto me. The only right spirit that we need to be letting influence us is the spirit of the living God. So we have to examine ourselves. Have we let anything creep in to our hearts? Paul gave us a warning in 2 Corinthians 11 and 3. He said, but I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupt, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. He's talking to somebody that has pure, undivided devotion to Jesus. We like to think that the enemy's not going to sneak in on me because I'm pure. I have this undivided devotion to Jesus, but he is crafty. And he has been around a lot longer than we have. But the spirit of the living God that we have living inside of us has been, he was here first. He was here. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. So as long as we hold fast to the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of God, we will be able to overcome. The enemy knows it's possible. He knows it is possible to sneak into the hearts of God's people. But God's people need to understand this very thing and be on guard at all times. Be on guard at all times because we have to be ready. Because it's not if, it's when. This message today is a word from God. And the church needs to be aware of the enemy's tactics, okay? We have to be aware and we have to be ready. So take up that whole armor of God. Protect your mind, your heart. The scripture says your heart above all else. Living this life as a Christian is spiritual warfare. Everything that we do every single day. It may seem silly to some people, but this is real. This is a real thing. The spirit world was around a lot longer than the earth has been around. It was here and it's still here. This is spiritual warfare. Everything that we do, it's for us and it's for others. The ones that we influence, they're looking at us in times like this. We go and we proclaim and we witness, and whenever it comes to these things, oh, trust me, they're looking at you. They're looking at us. They're wanting to see how the church of God reacts. Everything we do is seen openly, and the word says that we are epistles read of all men. The ones that we are hoping to win over to Jesus, they see what we post. They see how we respond to the things that are happening in this world. But they're not just looking at us. They're looking at the other side too. They're looking at the other side that sprinkles a little bit of truth and throws some comfort in with it. It says, that sounds good too. They're looking at both sides, trying to figure out what side of the battle to join. But whenever they look at the church, they need to see the peace of God in the midst of chaos. They need to see the love of God in the midst of hate. And above all, we need to strive to be like Jesus and reflect Him. And you can stand with me, because this is, I don't want to get in the way of what the Lord's wanting to do. In this day, we need to guard our hearts. We need to rebuke the lies of the enemy. Stand in our faith. Stand firm in your faith. And don't give up. Don't give up. Because that's what the enemy wants. And I just feel a call to prayer this morning. I feel a call to just seek after God. If you need to repent, take this time and repent. We've got 7 minutes before those doors will open. And 7 minutes is enough time to get your heart right with God. If you feel like you've let the things of this world consume you, if you feel like you've let these voices in, and you haven't been able to hear the voice of God and feel His presence like you used to, find a place in this room and pray. Find a place and repent and pour your heart out to God. And don't just repent. Don't just turn away, but consecrate. Consecrate. Make some commitments today. Make a commitment today, God, I'm going to put the phone down and I'm going to pick my Bible back up. I'm going to turn off the news and I'm going to find a place to pray and seek after your voice.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.